Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. In July of this year, I shared a devotional with our summer missionaries to encourage them in the Lord. I was sharing from Acts, where the first persecution in the early church broke out against the apostles and how they had boldly proclaimed Christ even in the face of persecution. Listening to that devotional that day was BC, who is one of our adult summer missionaries from Nigeria, West Africa. BC currently lives here in the United States, serving as a volunteer reaching children for Christ right here in Illinois. But unknown to me, BC came with a heavy heart that morning because just days before, in late June of this year, a new wave of persecution had broken out in her home country in Nigeria, and hundreds of believers in Christ were killed for their faith by over 500 jihadist terrorists from the Fulani tribe, and more than 10,000 people, primarily Christians, had been scattered and displaced from their homes and villages. But the Lord encouraged BC's heart that day, and together as a team, we lifted up prayers for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and believers around the world that the Lord would strengthen them to stand for Christ even in the face of persecution. The history of the church is replete with believers facing persecution. The stoning of Stephen that we read about here in Acts chapter 6 and 7 begins a long line of martyrs down to this present day. It has been stated that more people have died for their faith in the 20th century than in all the previous centuries combined. But standing for Christ in the face of persecution is not limited to martyrs or to missionaries or to even extraordinary believers in extraordinary circumstances. Standing for Christ in the face of persecution is a call for every believer to reflect Christ, to testify of Christ, and to look to Christ even in the face of persecution, no matter how small or how great our trials or our present sufferings. We're introduced to Stephen in Acts chapter 6, where Stephen is the first one of the seven to be listed as servant leaders in the early church. The Bible describes Stephen as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Not only does the scripture depict Stephen as a man who walked with his God, but also as a man who talked of his God. In verse 9, we see the first sign of persecution in the form of opposition coming against Stephen. The scripture records that there arose certain of the synagogue who were Greek-speaking Jews disputing with Stephen. But this disputing discussion didn't last long because these unbelieving Jews who rejected faith in the Lord Jesus Christ were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. We then see this disputing against move quickly to testifying against. The scripture records that false witnesses were bribed to speak false, twisted lies and accusations against Stephen. These false witnesses and throng of unholy men stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, the Bible says, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him before the council. The charges laid against Stephen were numerous. Speaking blasphemous words against Moses, against God, against the temple, this holy place, and against the law. There's no question that these were serious charges for any Jew. Stephen knew his life was on the line, but how would he respond? In verse 15, it's one of those amazing verses in Scripture that says so much in so few words. It says, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Stephen's first response in standing for Christ was to reflect Christ even in the face of persecution. But what does this mean? Does it mean that Stephen's countenance was somehow changed and was radiating like an angel's face? Possibly. We know this happened to Moses when his face was transfigured while beholding the glory of God, and God spoke with him as if face to face. Or perhaps it was a display of extraordinary calmness upon Stephen's face that was rooted in his deep confidence in Christ, even in the face of persecution. But whichever the case, we see that Stephen's ability to reflect Christ to others, even in the face of persecution, did not come from himself, but it flowed out of his relationship to Christ that filled Stephen by the grace of God, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. In the documentary drama, End of the Spear, Steve Saint, the son of Nate Saint, the missionary pilot, who was one of the five missionaries speared by the Wandani tribe in eastern Ecuador in 1956, tells of the account of a conversation that he had with his father before he left with the others, where they would land Nate's yellow Piper plane on a sandbar along the Curray River. Steve, a young boy at the age of five, asked his father if he would use his gun against the Wandanis to defend himself. His father replied, "No, son, we can't. You see, our souls are prepared for heaven, but theirs is not." Years later, Minkani, the tribal leader who had led the attack against the missionaries, revealed to Steve what he had done in killing his father. Minkani, who was now a believer in Christ, confirmed that the five missionaries did have guns that day, but they did not shoot them. But instead, with their dying breath, they showed faces of peace and love towards their attackers until their life ended at the end of the spear. I don't know about you, but when I hear stories like that, I have a prideful thought that says, sure, I can do that if I know that I'm laying my life down for Christ. After all, it's for the sake of the gospel. But then I remember my track record of sufferings and trials that are nothing in comparison, or when I feel shot at by others, including by fellow believers, or even by those closest to me. How do I respond? Do I reflect Christ? At that moment of trial, am I desiring to stand for Christ, even in the face of persecution, by reflecting Christ? Or am I more interested in standing and defending myself and shooting back? All of us who are believers in Christ need to be reminded that the first response in standing for Christ, even in the face of persecution, is to reflect Christ, both in our words, our actions, and yes, even in our facial demeanor, as we respond to others, not in ourselves and our own strength, but in the strength of the grace of God in Christ, full of faith and trust in the Lord and full of the Spirit. Even though Stephen may have had a face like an angel as he reflected Christ to others, that didn't stop this unholy council from carrying on. Now we enter the courtroom drama, but the rulers and judge of this court was a stacked deck against Stephen. But the high priest did allow Stephen to testify on his own behalf. He turned to Stephen and said, "Are these things so?" Stephen, who is on trial for his life, is testifying to the truth. Stephen had been accused, and now he would answer. But his whole goal in testifying was not for himself, but to point his accusers to Christ and show how the whole scripture was all about Christ. Stephen is standing for Christ, even in the face of persecution, not only by reflecting Christ, but also by testifying of Christ. Stephen wanted his accusers to know that the message of the gospel of Christ does not destroy the history of Israel, the law of Moses, or even the Jewish temple, but in Christ, it fulfills it. Stephen begins by speaking of Abraham and the promises of God, including the promised seed. He then moves quickly through the patriarchs and then focuses on the life of Joseph, stopping to note that it was for envy that his brother sold him, but God was with him. Stephen then hones in on the life of Moses in Egypt, reminding his audience that like Joseph, Moses too was rejected of his own brethren, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" But 40 years later, in the backside of a desert in Midian, it was the same Moses who saw the angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush and heard the voice of the Lord saying, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." The point of Stephen's message here was not about the miracles that God did through Moses, but to remind his accusers of what Moses himself had said, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear." This was not the first time that Stephen's audience had heard this prophecy connected to Christ. Jesus himself had told the Jewish rulers before he was arrested, tried, and crucified, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is only one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses," Jesus said, "you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." And then earlier Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." It's as if Stephen here in Acts 7 is walking down the path of the Old Testament, beginning with Moses, the law, and all the prophets, and pointing us to Christ, showing how all of Scripture is ultimately both fulfilled in Christ and testifies of Christ. Stephen was standing for Christ, even in the face of persecution, not only by reflecting Christ, but also by testifying of Christ as he stood upon God's word. Recently, I read a George Barner statistic that said, only 3% of our nation's 13-year-olds have a biblical worldview. When I read that, it made me sick. But at the same time, the statistic of adults, even among those in vocational ministry who have a regular devotional time in God's Word, is almost just as dismal at less than 5%. The verdict of the Church of Jesus Christ today is anemic on standing on God's Word from children to adults. How can we stand and testify pointing others to Christ through God's Word if we ourselves do not know God's Word and how it points to Christ? And how can we stand and testify of Christ even in the face of persecution if we are not rooted and grounded in the Word of Christ? Testifying of Christ and the Word of Christ is inseparable because the Scripture says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." After this, Stephen's testimony of the truth of Christ takes a dramatic turn. Stephen reminds his audience how their fathers, who had received God's law by the angel of the Lord at Mount Sinai, have rejected him and refused to walk in God's law and turned in their hearts back again from worshiping the true and living God all throughout Israel's history. Sometimes our testifying of the truth of Christ is beautiful and sweet, but other times it is hard and cutting. And so it was with Stephen's words. For 50 plus verses in Acts chapter 7, Stephen uses the terms brethren, fathers, or our kindred to connect to his Jewish audience. But now here at the end, Stephen declared that they were the ones who had cut themselves off because of their rejection of Christ, who is the righteous one, holy God. Stephen declared, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before of the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these words, the Bible says, they were furious and cut to the heart. But this was not a cutting of repentance toward God, but a cutting of rejection of God in Christ. As Stephen's accusers were gnashing at him, grinding their teeth in explosive anger, what do we find Stephen doing? Stephen is standing for Christ, even in the face of persecution, by not only reflecting Christ, testifying of Christ, but also looking to Christ by keeping his eyes steadfastly upon the Lord. The Bible says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." No matter what was happening around him, and even though his accusers were about to fall upon him and ruthlessly take his life, Stephen's eyes were fixated and steadfastly looking to Christ, even in the face of persecution. When times of trial, suffering, or persecution fall upon us, how will we respond? Will we look to Christ and keep our eyes on him, or will we take our eyes off of Christ and look for another way out? God calls us to keep our eyes steadfastly on him as we stand for Christ, even in the face of persecution, because we ultimately know that Christ is right there with us, standing for us on our behalf. Stephen that day saw a glimpse of heaven and the glory of the Son of Man, not sitting, but standing on the right hand of God. The Jewish council, it got it all wrong. They were against Stephen and against Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one and judge of all the earth, was standing for Stephen as Stephen was standing for Christ. Stephen would become the first martyr for Christ. The word martyr actually means witness, one who takes the stand for Christ. But the Jewish council could stand Stephen and his witness for Christ no longer. The Bible says they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. But how do we see Stephen responding? Like his Lord before him, Stephen prayed, calling on God, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down to the ground, and with his dying breath, Stephen cried with a loud voice, saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep and died. A few weeks ago, after I heard about the Christian persecution outbreak in Nigeria from BC, I came across an article by Voice of the Martyrs that told of an 8-year-old Nigerian boy named Dalo who suffered in the jihadist attack. Dalo's whole family had been killed, and he had suffered second-degree burns over most of his body. But when Dalo arrived at the hospital, the nurse found him praying to the Lord. He was praying for not only God to heal him and the others injured, but also for God to forgive his attackers. When we hear testimonies like these, an 8-year-old Nigerian boy or Stephen in the book of Acts, it is jaw-dropping to see their gracious response to others, even in the face of persecution. We can trust that God never wastes his precious saints on needless suffering for no reason. We will never understand fully this side of heaven, but at times we do get a glimpse. At the close of Acts 7, we are introduced to a young man named Saul who was complicit in the ringleader who officiated Stephen's death. But later, all by God's grace, he became the Apostle Paul, God's chosen servant to proclaim the gospel. But how did Saul first hear the gospel of Christ proclaimed? Through Stephen, the first martyr, who was willing to stand for Christ by reflecting Christ, testifying of Christ, and looking to Christ even in the face of persecution. And so must we. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me again.